Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It's very nice to have you with us and to talk about snowstorm. We're all sort of just like bracing for the big storm. So that's what's on a lot of people's minds. We'll talk about it a little bit this morning. Let me introduce our panel. We have a couple of housekeeping matters, and then we'll get to the subject at hand, which is to talk about what's going on in our world. WAMC is converting to a new backup power system starting at 10 p.m. tonight. We're going to be going off the air periodically as this is worked on. The copy actually says, as we work on this, but as far as I know, Ray and I don't have to have a wrench in our hands.
But you never know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We flew somebody in specially from a long way off to do this work.
I'm sure we have like really qualified people doing this.
Well, you know, I'm glad they got here now because 3,200 flights canceled already.
Wow.
Because, and then the question is, how about going back?
Well, they won't be able to go back.
That's right. We'll have them.
They'll have to work for us forever.
And we won't have to pay them.
That's what you think.
Just like the rest of us.
But we just want to remind people that the disruption is planned and not weather-related, and we will complete the process as quickly as possible. And we thank you very much for your patience.
So that's tonight?
Starting at 10 p.m. tonight.
So I think the engineering department wants everyone to know that it's not weather-related, everyone.
It's not our fault.
Okay, well, I have a question.
Yeah.
So if the power goes out, doesn't that affect your ability to hook up to a new backup system?
Oh, beats me. It's way above.
Mary, you're an investigative journalist, not an electrician. I mean, come on.
True. It's
although
very
that's a very
true.
Good investigative journalist question.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the storm, and Ray is our meteorologist.
Thanks.
Standing in that role.
Yeah, I'm not a meteorologist.
A weather forecaster.
Yep.
I believe the storm will sort of be moving in later, right? Overnight hours.
Well, I'm
right?
glad you asked about that because what'll happen is the light snow will move into the Catskills and Lower Hudson Valley early in the afternoon, then spreading north toward evening.
Okay.
Now, David W. A. Gustina,
weather alarmist
yeah. Gustina, not all that concerned. Paul Cayano, on the more conservative end of the predictions here, for some of these predictions are quite a lot of snow. He's saying for the greater Capital District, eastern Catskills, south central Vermont, 8 inches to a foot.
But he's
that's a mere bag of shells, Norton.
Mere bag of shells.
not what I thought you were going to say there.
Me neither. But they're also talking about 2 feet in the Berkshires.
That's correct.
That's right.
Or more.
Or more.
Yeah. Is that North County or South County?
So, Roselle, get out the shovel.
No. This I hate to say this because it's too personal, but this is where the rubber meets the road here because, you know, in the bottom of our marital difficulties, wherever they are, is the fact that I went out and spent a fortune
on a generator.
Ah.
So this will be your chance to go, aha!
Oh, no.
I told you, Mildred.
I am not hoping for the kind of storm that will knock out, you know, power.
That's good of you.
I would never do that to anyone.
Well, my mother and I are stocking up on Bailey's and ice cream. And I have reverted totally to childhood. I'm now hoping that the snow comes early this afternoon so that the university has to cancel afternoon
classes.
I think
you got a shot.
I have all my classes are this evening.
And so. Alan said we could go home early today.
Speaking of which, Chancellor Zimpfer is coming in for a discussion today.
Oh, really?
She can get in past the blizzardy conditions. Right.
Just to be clear, it's not snowing yet.
Oh, no.
Just to be clear.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it should
be
fine.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Other little housekeeping matter we have is that we have, the fund drive starts in a week. A week from today, we'll be in the fund drive room.
We're getting close, really close.
Now,
I have no fingernails left. I'm biting so hard.
Want to borrow one? Megan Finnegan, our wonderful Megan Finnegan, will come in and give us an update in about at the rate we're going, in about 2 or 3 minutes.
A couple more discussions of the weather, and she'll be in.
And then we'll get that, and then... But a week from today, we're going to be fun driving, and what we realize is that we really need people to... help us with our volunteers for the phone.
No.
For the phones.
Yeah. Oh, yes, between 6 and 8 in the morning.
Right, from 6 to 8.
Before you go to work. It's a perfect time, and that's when we really need people right now.
Yes, so 6 to 8, and Colleen Sullivan is our fun drive associate.
Fun driver.
Yes, and... she will be able to take your call. So if you just call up the main number, which is 800-323-9262, dial zero, and they'll get you to the person that you need to get to. You can set up and a shift. But we have wonderful people who come, and they do this all day long, but we shouldn't have to rely on them. We can rely on new people. We love new volunteers. We'd love to have you come in and...
That's when the bagels
make
are
that happen. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. The coffee's fresh. You get to see you two guys. It's really great.
Get
it's a
discounts
lot of fun.
From Brugger's.
Yeah.
6 to 8. That's okay. What we need.
So that starts next week, huh?
Yes, it does, Raymond. Thank you very much. So let us. Rick Graff is here. WAMC. You're saying that about everybody.
No.
You said that to me today.
That's the only one I said it about.
You said he's
Yes,
in a
that's
mood.
Right. It's Colleen O'Connell.
Yeah. What about him?
Oh, I didn't. I
said Colleen O'Sullivan. No, yeah, Maureen O'Sullivan.
Yeah, I screwed that.
It's Colleen O'Connell.
I went to an old staff member.
Yeah.
And Alan didn't correct me.
And nor did I. I'm only half listening.
I thought there was something.
It's the panel,
there.
After all.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Yeah, we've all been here way too long. All right. So Ray Graff is here. Rosemary Romeo is here. And Alan Chartok is here. And we're all happy to be here. We welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. All right. So let's talk about what happened over the weekend with, of course, the story that we mentioned, the big story from last week was Sheldon Silver arrested. And now the story is the question that we had on Friday that we posed to the panel was, should he remove himself as speaker? Should he resign? People were calling for both. And what he has done instead has ceded some of his powers temporarily. So, Alan, what do you make of this development in the Silver story?
Goodbye. I mean, I
really?
Think, oh, sure.
But didn't Bruno do the same thing?
No. First of all, Bruno was in a different place and with a different conference. But he did resign. Remember that? You know, I mean, he did get out. But did he get out? I'm trying to remember this. Did he get out because he was convicted? I think maybe that was it. Because once you're convicted of a felony in New York, you have to go. Yeah. In any case, took him 10 or 11 years. And then because the law got changed and thrown out by the Supreme Court that he was convicted under, the theft of honest services law, he was found not guilty. Now, Sheldon Silver is really a threat, obviously, to all of the people in his conference. Why? Because some of them are worried that he'll drop the dime on him, I'm sure, as the saying goes in the old movies. Some of them are worried that they won't win the next time because they're too close to Shelley and they've got to call for his removal. They're getting a lot of pressure from the Daily News front page, the New York Post front page, the New York Times led with it. It is a huge scandal, and I'm hearing a tremendous amount on my email.
I don't think we'll see him running again. And I was happy with this development. You know, it's not the same as resigning, but he's not going to be in there pulling strings and using influence. And basically, he doesn't need it anymore. Lord knows he's made enough money. He can retire and enjoy life for a while.
Well, they took $3.5 million away.
A lot away. Yeah.
Did they take it?
They literally grabbed it.
So my question to Rosemary's point, from my understanding, this is an arrangement that is somewhat unusual in the sense that he does not quit his post, but he delegates his duties to a group of senior assembly members. So he still has some say.
Right.
It's just that they will be doing the work.
Isn't it like when the president is temporarily,
like has a heart operation. You know, like
has a heart operation or hemorrhoid operation has happened.
Right, and they have to put him out.
And
for
the vice
minutes.
President is given those duties. I think it must be like that.
Yeah, but Joe makes I think a very profound and good point here, and that is, we don't know what this new arrangement really is. So there was an interesting story in the paper the other day about how you will remember Mrs. Rapfogel. Does everybody remember Mrs. Rapfogel? Well, Mrs. Rapfogel is Shelley Silver's chief of staff. She's married to William Rapfogel, who you all may remember stole a lot of money from the Metropolitan Council on Jewish Poverty in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And
I do remember this.
You remember that? And when they came around, they looked for the FBI looked for the money, and Mrs. Rapfogel said she didn't know where it was and didn't know anything about it. And people believed her, for whatever it's worth. And when the conference met the other day, the Democrats were meeting, only one staff member was allowed in the room. Shelley Silver's chief of staff, Mrs. Rapfogel, Judy Rapfogel. So is he calling in the play like a coach from outside? We don't know that, right? So we don't know how much. Now, look, one of the clever things about Shelley Silver, who is a master politician, is that there is not a natural successor to him.
Yeah.
Even though nature abhors a vacuum, there isn't. Denny Farrell, a good man, is the chair of the Ways and Means Committee. But he's in his 80s, and he's supposed to be doing the negotiating on the budget,
yeah.
which is fascinating. The Bronx chairman is up, wants to be the speaker, obviously. The Brooklyn guys are there, as always. Keith Wright, the Manhattan guy, is a chair and head of the Democratic Party. They're all, and a woman named Kathy Nolan, who's the head of the Education Committee, and who is very bright, and I think appears to be the cleanest, because she is not the chair of one of the political caucuses or parties from one of the boroughs.
Mm-hmm. So 2 points as to what you just mentioned, Alan. One is that the source in the New York Times, an unnamed source, says that the meeting will take place behind closed doors this afternoon to actually firm all of this up, with no real details even having been hashed out and worked out yet, because that the Democratic caucus still has to approve and figure this out of how it's going to work. And the official who spoke to the Times said, quote, Mr. Silver would not specifically step down, but he would step back.
And we don't know what that means.
No. And it seems like maybe they don't know what that means.
Yeah. So if
still better than him saying, which is what I was afraid of, that he was innocent until proven guilty and would be right in there slugging it out as always. I mean, if you step back as a master politician, he knows his power is diminished. You have to be in there in the fray to really have your full impact.
Well, as you remember, Rosemary, 3 men in a room.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're now going to be 8. Apparently 4 to 8.
Yeah, 2 men and whoever is standing in for
people
him.
In the,
we can even find a woman in the room. That would be.
Okay, I'm holding my breath on that one. This is New York State after all.
We'll take a break. We'll be back and continue our conversation on this and other issues. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing nature gifts, bird seed, bird feeders, and more to help create a backyard refuge. WBU.com/Saratoga Springs. And Tierra Coffee Roasters, Madison Avenue, Albany. Fair trade and organic coffee, sandwiches, and gluten-free baked goods. Now serving local beer and wine. TierraCoffeeRoasters.net.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel conversation for this Monday morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And we have a few of those comments to share with you right now.
The wonderful Chris McKenna, once my student, big guy in Republican politics, says he worked for them anyway, says Bruno retired 6 months before he was charged in 2008. And we heard from Dr. Lawrence. Okay, Alan, I have a whole house generator for 3 years now. This is the best investment you made. Nothing else gives you peace of mind. Tell Roselle I said so.
Nice.
Got that covered. Print it out.
That's
laminate
right.
It. Bring a copy home.
And some from John. Oh, boy.
LaFont is now. In your defense, you can't read that.
I can't read it.
Even I can't read that.
Is this from John?
Yeah.
In Newburgh?
Can you read it?
I can.
Go read it.
Well, I said
now you
can't. Now I can't, oddly enough. Isn't that weird?
The wheels are off once again.
Okay, well, wait a second. Yeah. Nobody, I can look check on another device here. Would you want me to do that?
Oh, sure.
I'll check it.
Sure, we have time.
Not doing anything else.
So the weather's looking pretty bad, Rosemary.
Oh, I hear that. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Could be some snow.
How was your weekend?
Well, not bad. I mean,
and
know.
John in Newburgh says all of us should rally behind Zephyr, that's Zephyr Teachout, and push for removal of Silver from his leadership position and election of a new speaker. May be messy, may delay a budget, may cause some folks to lose power, may still not put the proper people in power, but it can help to break the chain and get both parties headed in a more ethical direction. Given the light the federal authorities are putting on the issue, folks are going to have to act more responsibly when setting up a new leadership structure, and that's John in Newburgh. If I can just say one thing, and that is, Joe, you said something that really piqued my interest, which was that the caucus is meeting and nobody is allowed in the caucus. One of the great problems with the New York State so-called democracy is that nothing happens on the floor of the legislature that's important. It all happens in the secret caucuses, including today. Now, if there's a single reform that ought to get made, it's that the conferences, as they call them, ought to be put on television, just like the legislature is. So now we put the legislature, I fought for it for years, they put the legislature on television. Yeah. All the business goes on in the conferences, and that's just plain W-R-O-N-G, wrong.
We, I guess I would ask the question in how much of it is when you're listening to the plan, do you want to air your dirty laundry until you figure out what you've done?
Well, you clearly don't want to do it. You want to be in secret. But we elect them. We pay them. They are, quote, representatives. In other words, they're representing us in American government and in state government. How can they represent us if we don't know what they're doing?
There's nothing in any of the laws and traditions and rules about openness that say it has to be neat and clean. It's a mess, and it is frequently embarrassing, and we do it anyway.
You know, I remember when I went to Stanley Steingut, who was then the speaker.
It's about 20 seconds.
And I said to him, we have to have this on television, and he said, with all the money they waste, who will pay for it? But who will pay for it?
Yeah. We will be back. We'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Rosemary Armeo. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is Monday, the 26th of January, and we're very fortunate to have you with us, and we thank you very much for being with us. We are going to have a continuation of our conversation. You looked like you were poised.
Yeah, blizzard's coming. Blizzard's coming. Blizzard's coming.
All right. Tell me what's going on there,
okay,
Raymond.
You got a winter storm warning in effect from 1 o'clock this afternoon until 1 o'clock Wednesday morning for the greater capital region, Helderberg, Schoharie County, Saratoga region, Glens Falls, and northern Washington County. Now, get this. A blizzard warning from 1 o'clock this afternoon until midnight Tuesday for western Passaic County in northeast New Jersey and Orange County, New York City, surrounding immediate suburbs, Long Island, central and eastern Massachusetts, and all of Connecticut. That's a blizzard warning, boys and girls. And then a winter weather advisory from 1 this afternoon until 1 a.m. Wednesday for northern Warren County and the eastern Mohawk Valley, including all of Fulton County.
Okay, what exactly makes a blizzard?
Okay, it's gale force winds.
Yeah, the winds, yeah.
What was that?
Gale force winds.
And lots of snow.
Yeah.
And then blizzard.
Blizzard. It sounds a lot like winter storm.
But see, if you
No, it's the wind. I think
You got to hit a certain threshold of wind.
Because you can have 4 feet of snow and not have it be a blizzard.
Yeah, that's right. See, now Ray doesn't have to worry, but I do.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I only weigh 135 pounds.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There we go.
What's your point?
Point is, I could be blown away.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I guess there's... Yeah, anything is possible, given the... Given some spate of good luck, I suppose.
Does anyone wish to continue on with the program?
Nope.
Yep. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. Yes.
The President of the United States in India, was in India, and trying to clear a hurdle to create better ties with India. President Obama and his Indian counterpart broke through a five-year impasse on Sunday to pave the way for American companies to build nuclear power plants here in India, as the two countries sought to transform a fraught geopolitical relationship into a fresh partnership for a new era of cooperation. There was hugging. I saw it.
It was hugging. It was great. He also got some small deal with India on global warming, which has been also stalemated, not as good as it might be, but a step. It's
third
a good
biggest
trip.
Polluter, I believe.
Pardon me?
India is, I think, the third biggest
polluter. Yeah, China, U.S., and India are the top three. And so that's important. The best story to come out of the India trip, I thought, was about the prime minister's child bride abandoned. And
what?
Was waiting. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, this is the New York Times had this.
Dish it.
He was
such an amazing story.
Modi, the prime minister, has an arranged marriage when they were children. Is never consummated, and this poor woman who's a teacher, she's retired now as a teacher, is waiting to hear from him. She basically has a security guard assigned to her because she is technically the wife of the prime minister, even though they've like seen each other once in 30 years.
And she
has to pay to feed these guys and to take care of them.
She gets dressed every morning, assuming
that
they're going to call her and say, you have to come to the palace.
Yeah. So it's one of these stories about life and customs of India that we would never read ordinarily, but because now the president is there.
And he's immensely popular.
Yeah, he's an
interesting
guy.
Well, we don't know that.
not with her, but, you know, he came out with a big call this week about we have to do something about Indian culture that denigrates the value of women, that we abort or get rid of girl children. And it was quite a great speech. Mm. So it was shocking then to read about the child bride thing.
Yeah.
He's part of that culture.
We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. This is a story that's been around for a little while, and I bring it up this morning because for the second weekend in a row, it was the number one movie playing in this country, the number one grossing movie, and that is American Sniper, starring Bradley Cooper, directed by Clint Eastwood. This film has been, the true story of actually a man who was on the roundtable many years ago by the name of Chris Kyle, who was an American sniper and credited with the most kills of any American sniper. And so there's been great controversy over this film since its release, its general wide release about 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, just as all of that was happening, the day before it was released to the general public, the film was nominated for an Academy Award and as Best Picture. And Bradley Cooper, who plays Chris Kyle in the film, was nominated for Best Actor. Meanwhile, people are saying that it often glamorizes the killing and this idea of being a sniper. They're taking context, putting in context Kyle's own words in his book about how he wished he could go back because he felt that he wanted to kill more people. And then there's some, of course, because of, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but because of the political background of the director, Mr. Eastwood, that the film has more of a conservative bent, which, having seen the film myself, I disagree with, but I find the controversy fascinating.
I love Clint Eastwood.
Me
I think
too.
He's a genius, and I think that his take on war is immensely interesting. His stuff on World War II made you feel sympathy for the Japanese, for example.
Yeah.
He wrote from the point of view of the soldier, Japanese soldier, and here he's done it again. He's taken the point of view of the man who, is he a hero? Is he a psychopath? I mean, someone who kills almost 200 people and keeps track of each one and has sparked this whole debate about what is heroism? What should be the role of the individual soldier in a war? I think it's great. Mm. I haven't seen it yet. I certainly intend to anything with Bradley Cooper, and I'll go see anyhow. But I think Michael Moore stepped into this, and I was glad to see that when he said, you know, they're not heroes. Snipers. He had an uncle, a relative who was killed in World War II. But the role of sniper is different. And it also calls into question the whole thing that the media does in covering war, which is every soldier who goes over for the United States is a hero. Is that really true? What's a real hero?
Clint Eastwood was quoted over the weekend, and he was on Saturday, said the biggest anti-war statement of any film can make is to show the fact of what war does to the family and the people who have to go back into civilian life like Chris Kyle did.
Yep. That's another whole aspect of the film that's not in the controversy, but certainly really important. What happens when we remember from Vietnam when we treated soldiers terribly and the Iraq soldiers are coming back damaged and unable to get sometimes all the help they need. So fascinating. I think it's great.
And the film has been many who have criticized the film said that it is pro-war. Clint Eastwood said that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I also have to I think Bradley Cooper has handled this controversy in a great fashion too, of just saying, look, we're looking at the individual, we're looking at the how it impacts an individual. And I found it to be a very interesting story. But again, for the second straight weekend, it is the number one film. So even with all of this controversy,
it wasn't expected to be that popular.
It was not expected to be that popular. And I think, of course, the controversy has probably fanned it quite a bit. However, I do also think that I think the nomination probably helped. But I also think that the word of mouth was really good. Yeah. I mean, because it's a very good film. Yeah. It's very well done.
Those two men do not make bad movies. Eastwood or Bradley Cooper. So,
all right. We have some letters, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back.
We do. We heard from Bonnie, who writes almost every day, and who I used to think was my friend. She says, ha! Love how Ray gives as good as he gets, and then some. Yeah. Truly, Alan has met his match.
You see? I look forward to sparring with you on Monday morning at 6.
You will be. That's
I'll be actually shutting up and having a bagel. That's usually what I do during the fun drive.
Okay. And Susan says, the ongoing discussion about who is going to lead the assembly is focused on process alone. It is important, but it is a distraction from the real issue. The best thing the assembly can do right now is to put a bill on the table that requires full disclosure of outside income at least. Okay, and I'm not going to read the rest of it because it goes over the amount, but it's a very good point. But it isn't either or.
Right.
It should be full disclosure. We should know what they're doing. That's what we should do. Okay, so that's what I said on that.
Okay.
And then Ted says, the idea that people should not be removed from governing due to their age is good, but positions are being held until death. This strengthens the belief of politicians and the supporters that no one can do it better than me. Did you want to say something, Ray?
No, I saw you making a gesture.
No, I was just scratching.
You know...
That's why his leg was moving as well. Doing that like old German Shepherd puppy thing.
Right
there.
Right at the point where we're talking about holding position for life, right?
And Robert says, this power-sharing arrangement supposedly suggested by the speaker is rather, quote, interesting. Can anyone there point to me where this process is specified in the state constitution, provided, of course, that document still matters? No, it's not in the state constitution.
Should it be, though? I mean, are any of the committees in the constitution?
No,
they just sort of made those, right?
He's still the speaker. And he steps back as the speaker. I'm stepping back.
I would like to see something that says if you're accused of a felony, you step away. You're suspended until the case is resolved.
Let me just mention for the sake of this discussion, Joseph McCarthy, who said all kinds of bad things. Remember Senator McCarthy?
Of course. I wasn't around at the time, but I have read about him in history books.
I was around. It was not pretty. And I can only.
And you still hold your position, I understand, too. Yeah.
Yes. But I can only say everybody was scared. And it was obviously making all kinds of accusations, accused of, as you say. If you're accused of, that doesn't mean. I mean, I think that people are innocent until proven guilty.
Federal charges, though?
Yeah, this is a federal charge.
So?
You
think you've never had
specify.
A federal prosecutor who was off the reservation?
No, but if you're faced with a federal charge and it's formally filed, it isn't just, some ranting lunatic in Congress, of which we have many these days, then you step aside until the matter is resolved.
Okay, so I have immense respect for this particular federal prosecutor. My question is, what if it's a different federal prosecutor who's crazy?
It doesn't matter, Alan. To be charged with a federal crime takes a lot of energy and time, and you are distracted from your main job, which is representing us.
Here's the thing. I love you and respect you, Rosemary, but you're wrong.
Okay.
Can I? Would it make a difference to you up on the charge if he was if there was a perhaps a missing
murder.
Person
what
or
murder
or?
I really do think that the level of evidence means a lot, but I do think you have to presume innocence, even though we never do.
That's why I think the process should be: you get out while the case is resolved. It's not saying he's
so. Then anybody who wants you out,
saying he's busy and distracted.
Then you have political indictments, right? Then you
no.
Say,
I don't think you lose your job. You're put on hold.
Well,
until
you lose
the
your
matter
job.
Is
you're losing your job. I mean, you're stepping back. You're not the one of the three guys in the room. And by the way,
yeah,
I doubt very much we're ever going to see Sheldon Silver back in this job again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that that's true. That's an interesting point you raise, though, that if you wanted to remove somebody, you would just get them indicted on a charge.
It is an interesting point that Ray just made, but I made it about five minutes or earlier.
That's fine.
I want the credit.
All right.
Okay. That was a brilliant, brilliant.
You know, Alan, you are so smart.
All right, we're gonna take a break, and we're going to shovel out the cynicism that's in the room, and we'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Mark Lawson Antiques, Saratoga Springs, and Colony, New York. Purchasing jewelry and diamonds, coin collections, silver, antiques, fine art, and estates, marklawson.com. And Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck. Weight management supplements, homeopathics, protein powders, and more since 1978. Facebook, Twitter, and sunflowernatural.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable panel and to our discussion this morning. We've all made up in the break.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
We welcome your
I
comments.
I hold a long grudge.
Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Like Speaker Silver.
And McCarthy.
We have letters.
Oh, yeah. We do. Yeah, okay.
Well, let's get to those.
Okay. Michael says this power sharing. This is Robert. I'm sorry. This power sharing arrangement supposedly suggests.
I think we did that one.
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, it was pithy, though.
So sorry. And Michael says Michael Moore called the sniper a coward. The people he sniped are the cowards, killing innocents for their fascist goals. That's from Michael. And Eric says about Clint, his genius departed him for Jersey Boys.
Well, that is true.
Was that him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that about
Frankie Valli?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of liked it.
I saw it on Broadway.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, it was a very different production.
Was Clint playing Frankie Valli?
Yeah.
I think that was very...
He was. Although, again, I would say that Clint Eastwood is a very good director, not only with war films, but with music as well.
J. Michael says, Alan's right.
Oh, boy.
Alan's right. That's why we have the speech and debate clause and immunity from arrest during sessions in many state constitutions. And that's it. That's from him. And Alan, with this, I agree from Ted.
Holy mackerel, that's two.
Innocent until proven guilty, period, he says. And like that. And that's it.
All right.
Except for the front porch in Copaig, New York.
Oh, boy.
Where the soup is sausage pasta soup.
Oh, how about that? And a grilled ham with smoked Gouda. How can you lose?
I read this every day, because they send it to me. They don't pay for it, by the way.
No.
Never.
No.
That would be illegal.
Do you ever eat there?
Nope.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Let's move
on. That makes me hungry. Yeah. We have to stock up on that before the snow comes.
All right. I want to talk about two things. One is the another interesting story in the paper this morning about research funding for treatments tailored to patients' DNA. Hundreds of millions of dollars is being sought for a new initiative to develop medical treatments tailored to genetic and other characteristics of individual patients, according to President Obama's administration.
Well, that's where we're going. There's no question about it. You can fight it. You can not like it. You can say, I don't want to live to 200, but that's the next advance. Yep. The genetic thing is the next big advance.
Yeah. I think we knew that when the research was going on.
Sure.
I hope Congress won't stand in the way of this, but they will because it's Obama asking for it.
There's three different things that, I mean, from what I have understood so far is that it's receiving bipartisan support.
Yeah, but let's see what Netanyahu has to say about it.
That's funny.
What do you all make of that?
Actually, no, the interesting...
Well, we talked about it, but
the interesting thing is that the Israelis were among the first to do the stem cell work, but that's not what you meant. You meant to make a comment that you don't think that the president was wise, that the Congress was wise to invite Netanyahu without talking to the president, whose major responsibility or a major responsibility is foreign policy. And I agree with that.
Well, actually, I would have said that when I first when the story first happened, but my thinking has evolved, Alan.
Really?
I have these things to say. First is, like, I think it's pretty cool that Boehner is saying, "Ah, you want to play tough, Mr. President? I can do that too." I sort of like that spirit.
Why do you like it?
Because they're both going to play hardball now. And number two, that's fun to watch as an observer.
Fun?
And number two is the White House is not without blame in this matter. And the president has made steps without informing, as is protocol and as is usual tradition, without informing Congress about it. And they're annoyed by that.
Okay, they're annoyed, but I think it's outrageous. I think the president is in charge of the foreign policy. The least you do is pick up the phone and say we're going to invite him here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Netanyahu is wrong. Listen, I'm a guy.
Netanyahu, I have like nothing good to say about that. What game is he playing?
Well, he's playing the game that he's going to do American politics. And I think it's just wrong. And in the same way that I would think it would be wrong the other way around. But I have to say, just so nobody gets this wrong, I am a huge believer in the state of Israel being allowed to continue without being pushed into the sea, which so many of these people want to do. On the other hand, they can be wrong, and they are wrong in this case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, since we brought up this case, one of the things that was bouncing around the news wires was the fact that this was something that was so outrageous, even Fox News was against it.
Yeah, that's true. I did read that. Like, how could this happen? Yeah. Disrespect for the office of the president.
Right.
It's
pretty
just
fascinating.
Like, it isn't. It's just like on when you have a State of the Union, you don't have an opposition member of the body stand up and yell liar. It's just rude and does no good for our form of government.
And finally, we leave you with this. We've been talking about it. Ray can tell us more about it, but New York bracing for a blizzard amid warnings of closings and hazards. The mayor of New York City said on Sunday that the storm approaching on Monday was likely to be one of the biggest to ever strike New York City. He urged people to stay indoors to avoid powerful winds, low visibility, and treacherous road conditions. The National Weather Service, which issued a blizzard warning for the greater New York City area, forecast gusts of up to 50 miles per hour and snow accumulation of at least 1 to 2 feet. Our forecast, depending on where you are,
right,
it ranges.
Yes, from a dusting to several feet.
Are you going to be disappointed if there's a dusting when you have like?
No, I would be very happy if no snow fell.
Me too.
Just to be clear.
Oh, no, I want a lot.
You know what? That's spoken like a professor who wants a day off.
I want to go back. Well, you make a point. I want to go back to Rincon, Puerto Rico, which is where we were.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Smoke a cigar, have some rum. I'm with you.
My poor mother says she has winteritis and nothing will cure it except a trip to the Ecuador. She wants to sit on the equator. I can understand that.
I can understand that as well.
Where it is not true that the water goes back and forth depending on which side of the equator you are.
Yes, it is.
Not true. Not true.
I was on it. I did it.
Not true. You did not. Not true. I've read about it 1,000 times.
I did it, Alan. I was on the equator, and it circles this way one side and that way on the
Welcome
other.
Welcome to the Science Forum, ladies and gentlemen. If you've just tuned in.
Were you going to give totals, or should we just wait for the newscast at the top of the hour?
We'll do that, how much snow?
Yeah.
2 feet in the Berkshires.
I'm going out to see if it's snowing.
All right. Rosemary, thank you very much.
David W.A. Gustina will be in with the newscast, and he'll have all the latest on the weather.
W.A. stands for weather alarmist.
Oh, right. Yes. He'll be here.
Rosemary, thank you. We'll
see you
tomorrow.
You're really leaving? You're really leaving?
Yeah.
Alan wasn't that bad. Stick around for it. No? She's gone.
She has the opportunity to leave early. She's leaving early.
Wow.
Megan Finnegan has taken over the seat, and she's going to tell us what's going on with our lockbox. Exciting news last week was that we got a challenge from Berkshire Bank of $10,000 to get us to
challenge.
The halfway point in the drive. So the question we have for Megan is, how did we do over the weekend?
Well, we did very well over the weekend. We're up to $392,890.
Wow. That means we need about $99,000 in 7 days to go. So that's like, you know, right?
Well, we need over $100,000.
Yes. Yeah, just over $100,000 to go.
We had 392.
392.
Plus 90,000.
Yeah, so 108.
Would be less than 500.
Okay.
Unless you're already deducting the 10.
Okay. You know, everybody can kid around about this, but this is not a kidding matter. Berkshire Bank will give us $10,000 if we can do this. We all need, because we all made this station, the money. So get moving, everybody.
And you do it at WAMC.org. Just
you
to be
could.
Clear, you go to the locked box, you make the pledge, and it all counts on day one of the fund drive, which is, by the way, a week from today.
And I am really chewing on my fingernails here. This is not good. We need to do it. We can do it. We've done it before, but we need to do it. Everybody's got to do something.
Yep, and you can get a great personalized water bottle if you go to the site right now.
Now, tell me about that.
Well, 22 ounces stainless steel if you're still
it's
on your
gorgeous,
New Year's resolutions.
Tell me about that for 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
And what's on the top?
Well, you can put anything you like on it, up to 15 characters.
Oh, you can put your name on it?
Yeah, yeah, no, but you also have something you can drink out of.
Oh, you're trying to get me to say the N.
Alan wants you to say...
I'm not going to say...
Alan wants the word nipple to be announced on the air. Nipple, 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 nipple. It's not. It's a
spout.
Yeah.
How do you know
spigot.
What I want you
it's
to say?
It's because we know what you're doing.
It's flexible.
Right. Anyway, it's a really nice bottle. You can see it at the website. Make a pledge. And let's get to the $500,000 mark.
We have to do it. Don't you understand?
We can do it.
We got $10,000.
It is a very exciting bank, isn't it?
Wow.
All right, we'll let that sink in. We remind you, you can go to WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and find out everything you need to know about the lockbox. You can also find out about the water bottle, which is a pledge of $125. And
personalized.
Megan will be in tomorrow to tell us how we have done. Hopefully we'll be over the $400,000 point. By tomorrow.
Yep.
And we welcome you to join us at WAMC.org and to help us get to the halfway point in the fund drive before we officially begin the fund drive a week from today, Monday morning at 6 a.m.
Yes.
With Ray.
And his sidekick, Alan.
There you go. No.
Uh-oh, he's mad now.
I'm not mad at all. I agree with that. That's a great assessment.
Yeah. We, again, welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org as well. And we still need volunteers for the fund drive 6 to 8 a.m. most days. Give us a call, 1-800-323-9262. We'd love to hear from you and do what you can.
Tony says it's snowing in New York City.
There we go.
Okay.
Oh, wow. We have an on-the-ground report. Yeah. We'll be back after this.